getting your afternoon started right now. It's Pat Steinberg on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Being able to play in Canada definitely, you know, is high up in there. Being close to home, easy for family to travel to Toronto and come watch games and stuff, not having to go through the border for them. Those are all little things, you know, that weighed on the decision.
That is the voice of Russell Martin, the newest member of the Toronto Blue Jays, officially introduced in TO today. So how much better does he make the Jays? We'll touch on that just after 1:15 with Greg Zahn, who's scheduled to join us this hour on The Big Show. As we welcome you into the program on a Thursday afternoon, my name is Pat Steinberg, live from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. And the Russell Martin news is a big deal nationwide, and we'll try and get a little bit more on this and how he helps this Jays team a little bit later on. But before we do anything else, the Big Show ticket window is wide open because we have got not one, not two, not three, but four pairs of tickets to give away to Sunday's West Division Final between the Calgary Stampeders and Edmonton Eskimos. My name is Pat Steinberg. Show is wide open. And once again, it's on the text lines that we're going to get you these tickets. So I've got four of them to give away, which means the first four correct answers are going to the West Division Final between the Stamps and the Eskimos. Obviously, the rules apply as always. You got to have your first and last name on the text. Then we're going to take that down. We'll forward it off to our promotion staff, and they'll get in touch with you. We'll also get in touch with you. So if you think you might have won, but you haven't heard from Will in the next about 45 minutes, you probably haven't won. John Cornish is going to return to the lineup and be good to go on Sunday against the Edmonton Eskimos. So our trivia question is centered around the 2013 Most Outstanding Player at 960-960 with your first and last name on the text. I need to know, who was John Cornish's head coach at the University of Kansas, where he played his NCAA football? Who was John Cornish's head coach at Kansas? That at 960-960. If you're one of the first four correct answers with your first and last name on the text, you're going to Sunday's West Division Final between the Stamps and the Eskimos, and we'll give you the answer coming up around 1:25 once we kick off the next segment of the program. It is Flames Game Day, brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion, as the Flames take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And one of the interesting stories in this game is the return to the lineup for Michael Ferland. He's missed the last eight games with a concussion, and that concussion was delivered thanks to a bad hit from Anton Volchenkov. Remember, Volchenkov ended up getting four games for the hit he laid on Ferland, and Ferland recovered, and he didn't probably need to miss all eight games health-wise because he's probably been medically okay to play for the last three or four games. However, Bob Hartley really wanted him to get his conditioning back, get his game speed back, because look, when you're fighting a concussion, when you're trying to recover from a concussion, you're not able to do the same type of physical activity you usually would. So that's a big reason why he missed the eight games as opposed to just a few games like it could have been medically. What's amazing on the Ferland front, he hasn't played in Adirondack of the American Hockey League in about 3 weeks. He's still tied for the team lead in scoring with 9 points. So Michael Ferland made quite the impact. We talked to Billy Arnold yesterday on the program, and you know, he talked about how right now they're scoring by committee. Well, Ferland was a big part of that group scoring-wise before he got recalled here to Calgary. Still tied for the team lead in scoring 3 weeks after his recall with the Calgary Flames. So after missing eight games, Michael Ferland is back tonight, and he spoke inside the Flames locker room today as he returns to the lineup this evening.
Yeah, you know, obviously I've been working hard here the last couple weeks, and you know, I'm just really excited and anxious to get back out there.
Has it been hard, you know, just like waiting, you know, you get your chance, and it was such a short chance that first time, and now just waiting to get another look?
Yeah, you know, obviously it sucked my first game getting hurt, but you know, I'm a strong believer and everything happens for a reason, and you know, I'm just happy I'm still here right now and getting the opportunity I am tonight.
What has Bob told you about what he wants you to be doing out there?
Just wants me to go out there, use my body, be physical, you know, move my feet, you know, move pucks quick. I'm with playing with Juris and Byron tonight, so they're both fast skaters, and you know, I got to try to keep up with them and just make room for them.
Does it almost feel like you're getting a second chance at a first game now?
Yeah, for sure. You know, obviously my first one was ended not how I imagined it, but yeah, like You know, I'm really anxious to get out there.
What can you take from that first game that you can apply this time around?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not as I don't have the butterflies. You know, I just want to get out there and play. I'm not as nervous as I was my very first time, so that's good.
How difficult was it getting the concussion, not even being able to skate, and then when you do get on the ice, you're doing 2 days and getting back skated?
Yeah, those always suck. You know, I wasn't able to do anything for, I think, 10 days, and then once I was cleared, it was tough. It was hard work, and, you know, but it helped me out.
Michael, is it going to be hard the first couple of shifts just to get a few hits under your belt and maybe just get hit a few times just to kind of feel
comfortable? Yeah, for sure. You know, that's my goal for tonight, to just get out there and, you know, get a few licks on some guys and just try to get in it early.
It's Michael Ferland of the Flames who returns to action tonight. I guess you can maybe call this his re-debut in the Flames lineup because of his debut being cut short against the Nashville Predators. This is, you don't like that? I'm going to go with re-debut. I'm not sure if it's even a word. But his re-debut is tonight inside the Flames lineup as... It was unfortunate what happened the first time around. It was certainly not the way he had planned his NHL debut to go. But Ferland is a player that this Flames organization likes, and I'm quite curious about what he's able to bring to the ice tonight. Here's a thing I would caution you as a Flames fan. I wouldn't buy too much into what you see tonight. So, for instance, if he struggles tonight, I'm okay with that because he hasn't played in quite a while. I think I want to see Ferland get into three or four games in succession before I really start to come to a conclusion as to what he's going to be. So I'm interested. I'm very curious as to how his power game can translate to the National Hockey League, but I'm almost looking at this as his NHL debut. Even though it's not his first NHL game, this to me is kind of his second chance at that NHL debut, and you heard him say it right there. It sounds like he's going to be playing with Paul Byron and Josh Juris. So the line's a little bit different, and you know we're looking at a little bit of a different combination as to what we've seen the last little while. So yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at. That's kind of what we're looking at when it comes to the lines for the Calgary Flames this evening, or at least the way that, at least the place that Michael Ferland's going to play. So, game day brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion, and it's a 7 o'clock face-off tonight as Calgary takes on the Chicago Blackhawks. News from the Canadian Football League. Looks like we're going to have to change up the way we structure this hour a little bit, just because looks like Greg Zahn's going to be a little bit later than we had initially anticipated. So, we'll maybe push Greg Zahn back towards the end of the hour as opposed to coming on at 1:15 because it's 1:17 right now. We'll try and hook up with Greg Zahn a little bit later on this hour. In fact, looks like we're going to be able to hook up with the Blue Jays analyst a little bit later. Obviously, big news, Russell Martin officially introduced to Toronto media today after signing a 5-year, $82 million contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. Really curious, from catcher to catcher, what Greg Zahn sees in Russell Martin, and specifically what Greg Zahn sees in Russell Martin right now at the age of 31. That's later on this hour. News from the Canadian Football League. The BC Lions have fired head coach Mike Benavides, and I'm all for this move. I think this is the right move to make. Mike Benavides is really good as a coordinator for the BC Lions, but just never really seemed to be at home as the head coach of the team. They had playoff disappointments. I think more often than not, other than his first year at the helm, more often than not, they underachieved under Mike Benavides. And obviously what happened last Sunday in that game against the Montreal Alouettes, there's no way that they were bringing Mike Benavides back. So the Lions fire Mike Benavides. I think it's the right call. I'm curious as to where they go from there. Does Wally come back and patrol the sidelines once again? Not sure, but I'm quite curious as to how this all plays out going forward. The one call I do agree with, I think it's the right call to go in a different direction from Mike Benavides. My name is Pat Steinberg. The Big Show is live on location tomorrow at Country Hills Golf Course for their Black Friday sale, and this is kind of one of the unique opportunities in any given year to get yourself some massively good deals. If you're looking for casual wear, if you're looking for golf wear, if you're looking for obviously golf equipment, clubs, and that type of stuff, golf bags, anything you need technically on the golf side of things. This is your sale. So tomorrow, the Black Friday sale at Country Hills Golf Course. Not only is Country Hills and their pro shop blowing out all their stuff from last year, but so are a number of other golf courses in the city. They all come together in one place, and they bring all their material into one spot, and the prices are marked down like crazy. So we're talking about high-end golf shirts, high-end sweaters, all kinds of casual pants and golf pants, the clubs, the golf bags, everything reduced tomorrow at the Black Friday sale. Country Hills Golf Course is where Labardius and I will be from noon till 6 tomorrow. Looking forward to that on the big show. A much-anticipated return goes tonight in Vancouver. We've got your spin around the NHL next, but right now it's Don Cherry and Brian Williams on Grapevine. This is the big show underway on a Thursday on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Home for Boomer and Warner in the morning. Jim Rome, Hockey Central, The Big Show, and tons of play-by-play. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
And once again, coast to coast, on Cherry's Grapevine on the air. Grapes, yesterday you were talking about Dennis O'Brien. You picked him up in Boston. You got on to John McCauley. We didn't have a chance to talk about McCauley. You want to talk about McCauley today.
I do, and I want to talk more about Dennis O'Brien because when he was the mainstay, believe it or not, should have played him more in the finals, but good guy too.
Coast to coast, you're listening to Don Cherry's Grapevine.
Grapevine is brought to you by Subaru Canada.
Welcome to Hockey Night in England. This is a live broadcast of the Piccadilly Cup. And there's the whistle. Jolly good shot from the Cheshire chaps. Valiantly blocked by Essex. Wait a tick. There's been a dust-up between Helmsley and Cavendish. Gloves are coming off. Helmsley has slapped Cavendish with his glove. The spectators are expressing their approval.
Some things just make more sense in Canada. Like a Subaru with symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive.
So I used to have about an hour and 10 minute practice, not a long practice, because the guys knew an hour and 10, unless they were bad, I'd keep them longer, but they would give it all. They don't pace themselves. That's what guys do. You know, when you have a 2 hour practice or an hour and a half practice, I know, cause I was a player for 16 years, you pace yourself. But if you know it's an hour and 10, you know, you'll go all out. So hour and 10, and then the guys would stay on and fool around and shoot pucks, and they wouldn't leave for about half hour. They loved it so much. So Dennis, when we first got him, started to fool around with the guys, and I said, Dennis, come here. I says, you don't fool around with the guys. He says, what do you mean, Grapes? They said, you don't fool around. You're too fat. I said, get to the side of the boards, and we worked, and he was beautiful. I think he lost about 20 pounds. So now here's a story about John McCauley. You put the puck off the glass and I'll be happy. So Brian is one of those deals that you'll see once in a lifetime. I think I've only seen it twice. Everybody changed at the same time. Everybody was off the ice. Their team went off. You'll only see it once every 20 years. So Dennis is standing all by himself behind the net with the puck. And John McCauley, God love him, is standing at the blue line. And Dennis gets it and rifles it off the glass, almost hits John McCauley, right? John McCauley goes back, O'Brien, are you nuts? Are you nuts? You almost hit me with the puck. There was nobody on the ice, he said. Grapes wants it off the glass. Grapes gets it off the glass.
Brought to you by the Prostate Cancer Center. If you're over 40, it's time you got your baseline PSA blood test. The Man Van Mobile Clinic could save your life by early detection of prostate cancer. Click getchecked.ca.
You said you liked Dennis O'Brien because he was a stay-at-home defenseman. He also did what he was told.
Better believe it, Brian, and that's one of the reasons. If you have a stay-at-home defenseman and he does his job, it's beautiful. And like I said earlier in this show, everybody, if you got a kid playing defense, keep them stay at home because that's what they're looking for.
Mobile, magazine, TV, online, and on your radio. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Listen like never before. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Well, a change in plans. Apparently, our brethren on television are making a rather big deal of the Russell Martin acquisition. They're hammering it on Blue Jays Central right now. on Sportsnet West. So Greg's on, not able to join us today as we originally had thought. We're going to try and hook up with Greg tomorrow on the big show. So no Greg's on today. We had thought we were going to get him on at 1:15, but the television folks, our good friends on the TV side of the organization, are hammering through the Russell Martin acquisition, and for good reason. This is a pretty big signing by Alex Anthopoulos. 5 years and $82 million. And I think it's a move that makes the Jays better. I don't think it pushes them over the top. I don't think it makes them instantly a playoff team or anything like that. But I do think it makes them a better team. It upgrades a position they had struggled at. Sounds like Deonor Navarro wants out of Toronto. We'll see if they can facilitate that. And there's no doubt about it. When you go from Russell Martin to from Deonor Navarro to Russell Martin, you're making an upgrade there. Martin, 31 years of age. He's born in Toronto, grew up in Quebec, and now gets to be a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. So that is the latest when it comes to the first hour of the Big Show. No Greg's on today. I can tell you that we have got four winners for our ticket window contest, because we now know that Andrew, Mike, Rob, and Mike. So two Mikes, an Andrew and a Rob, are going to the West Division Final between the Calgary Stampeders and the Edmonton Eskimos. I asked the question to kick off the program a little earlier. Who was John Cornish's college coach at the University of Kansas? It was the same guy throughout all of Cornish's time in the NCAA. That would be Mark Mangino, and that is the correct answer. So if your name is Andrew, which I'm sure there's more than one Andrew listening right now, I bet there's more than one Rob listening right now, and I know there's more than one Mike listening, because two Mikes end up winning prizes. If your name is Rob, Mike, or Andrew, Will's going to call you here before 2 o'clock. So if you don't hear from Will before 2 o'clock, then you can assume that you haven't won. I'm not going to give out these guys' last names, but that's kind of the way we'll go about it. If you don't hear from Will before 2 o'clock, means you haven't won. But congratulations to Andrew, Mike, and Rob, as you four are going to the West Division Final for correctly answering the trivia question. And the answer, Mark Mangino. Okay, let's take you on a spin around the league.
It's the fastest game on earth around the NHL right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Around the NHL on The Big Show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
It's a busy Thursday on the NHL ice. We've got five teams to focus in on, and a pretty big story. One province to the west of us is where we'll start.
The Anaheim Ducks.
No doubt about it, it's been a date that's been circled on Ryan Kessler's calendar for quite some time, as the 30-year-old makes his much-anticipated return to Vancouver. Of course, Kessler was traded at the draft or during draft weekend to the Anaheim Ducks from the Vancouver Canucks, and tonight the Ducks visit the Rogers Arena. Kessler knows it'll be an emotional night.
It's going to be an emotional night for me. If they boo me, it'll probably jack me up even more, if that's what you're asking. It's going to be fun. It's going to be an intense night, and I'm looking forward to it.
Kessler sure did look good against the Flames on Tuesday night. He's fit in well overall with the Ducks so far. Tied for third in points on the roster with 6 goals and 15 points in 20 games. The Ducks, though, in a bit of a slump. They have just 3 wins in their last 10. They're 3-2-5 in that span. So they're getting points, but they'd like to convert some of those points into wins a little bit more often. 8 p.m. start tonight at the Rogers Arena in Vancouver. Will, it was time for the Canucks to move on from Ryan Kessler. It was time for Ryan Kessler to move on from Vancouver. But that doesn't diminish how important he was to that organization for as long as he was there. They're not in the Stanley Cup Final in 2011 if it's not for Ryan Kessler. They don't win back-to-back President's Trophies if it's not for Ryan Kessler. I know that Henrik and Daniel Sedin put up tons of points, and Roberto Luongo was in net, and Kevin Bieksa and Alex Edler and guys like that were big on the blue line. I think you can make the argument, and I would make the argument, that the most important of the players throughout that entire time on the Canucks was Ryan Kesler.
Yeah, I can't really disagree with you, Pat. I mean, you mentioned Luongo and the Sedin twins, but I mean, when you think of the Vancouver Canucks over the last 10 years, one of the first names that come to mind, if not the first, is Ryan Kesler, and he was a huge part of that team. And yes, it may have ended not the way that Vancouver fans have wanted with Kesler asking out, but like you said, I think it was time that both teams or both sides kind of moved on, and Ryan Kesler needed a fresh start somewhere else. But he's a hell of a player, and like you mentioned, he was fantastic on Tuesday against the Calgary Flames. Great penalty killing, great in the faceoff circle, and is now part of a fantastic 1-2 punch with Ryan Getzlaff. And I'm curious to see how he gets what his reception's like tonight in Vancouver. I have a feeling there's going to be a little bit of booze, but I'm sure a lot of people will be cheering him as well, because, as you mentioned, he was a major part of this franchise for a better part of a decade.
Well, and I mean, look, when you're at a point when a guy who's that important to your organization is frustrated, when you're at a point where a guy who has been that integral to your team doesn't really want to be there anymore, it doesn't make sense to keep him around. And if you're Kesler, you don't want to be there. You also don't want to be a downer inside that room. Like, it just makes sense. It's a little bit different if you're talking about a guy who isn't that important a player. But when you're a focal point of an organization like Ryan Kesler was, it just makes sense for everybody involved to divest. So they made the right call, and he's now a member of the Anaheim Ducks. Nick Bonino's worked out nicely for them. They've got a little bit more depth. They brought a first-round pick back in return. So Vancouver's done just fine, and right now the Canucks and Ducks are neck and neck with one another for top spot in the Pacific Division, so it's not as if Vancouver has suffered greatly either. Anaheim has 27 points right now on top of the West and on top of the Pacific, trailed by just 1 point by Vancouver, along with Calgary and the Nashville Predators. So it seems like it's worked out on both sides to this point.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, Vancouver fans can't really be upset. They're still, you know, a competitive hockey team. It's not like they've lost everything and they've started way over again, but the reports have been, like, there's been articles all week about, you know, like you mentioned, Ryan Kesler. When a guy's not happy and a focal point of the organization, it's not a good thing for a team to be around. I mean, there was articles written in the Vancouver Sun this week talking about how Ryan Kesler was a grump coming to the rink last year and just didn't want to be there, and he really wanted to move on. And you know what? As much as you can't really force a guy to stay with your organization, and I think that's something that Vancouver fans do understand, and hopefully he does get a nice reception tonight.
So Ryan Kesler is back in Vancouver. He'll make his first return to the Rogers Arena tonight when the Ducks take on the Canucks. That's what's happening in Vancouver, and that's what's happening with the Ducks.
The Montreal Canadiens.
Coming off a tough 4-0 loss to the Penguins on Tuesday, the Montreal Canadiens hoping to bounce back with a win on home ice tonight. But another tough test as they welcome the 12-5-1 St. Louis Blues to town. Forward Max Pacioretty spoke to the media following practice this morning. Says that the faceoff dot will be a big key to his team's success tonight.
Yeah, they're a big, strong, physical team, and they're good in the faceoff dot, which means they start with a puck a lot. But looks like our team's been doing well in faceoffs this year, and I think that might be a big factor in a game against a team like this. You know, if we let them start with a puck every time, and they're a big, strong team, it's tough to get it back from them. So got to find a way to help our centermen win draws and then win those battles for loose pucks.
The Blues are red hot, record of 8-2 in their past 10 games, while the Habs are a top team in the NHL with 29 points. So as much as the Kesler return is huge, Pat, I believe this is the marquee matchup in the NHL tonight.
Well, in terms of just the overall matchup, I agree. I think that, to me, as much as I like what the Canadiens have done, I still don't consider them to be one of the elite groups in the NHL. Good on them for being number one overall right now, and I think they're going to be battling all year for top spot in the East. But this is a real test, and Boston shut the Blues out 2-0 a couple nights ago, and the Bruins continue to stay above water without Zdeno Chara. Now they find out they're going to be without Adam McQuaid for a little while, but this is a real test for Montreal, and I think when you're an Eastern Conference team at the top of the Eastern Conference. When you play one of these Western Conference teams, I really do think these are those kind of telling, quote-unquote, measuring stick games. I tend to not always buy into that measuring stick philosophy, but in this instance, when you're talking about the Canadiens, one of the top teams in the East, playing a true, no-questions-asked powerhouse in the West, you can really answer some questions. So I'll be curious as to where the Habs are in relation to the Blues tonight. And remember, Montreal's coming off a game that was a bit of an Eastern Conference statement game in its own right when Pittsburgh blanked them 4-0 on Tuesday night. So I think Montreal's going to have a number of things to want to prove tonight when they welcome the Blues to the Bell Center.
Yeah, they may have failed that test on Tuesday, but you're right. This is a big game for them against a true powerhouse in the Western Conference, and a conference that a lot of people feel is stronger than the East. So a big game for Montreal. And Pat, you mentioned it. You don't necessarily feel the Habs are an elite team in the East. Would you say the Lightning are a better team?
I like the Lightning's makeup.
Like, who would you say
like
are the
Montreal's
elites in the East?
Pittsburgh and Boston are still the two that Boston only by reputation. They've kind of got to prove it this year that they're still there. But just because of reputation and what they've done, I'd put Boston there and I put Pittsburgh there. I think Montreal and Tampa Bay are potentials, but I don't think they are yet.
Yeah, I agree. I believe they still have to prove themselves, and tonight's another chance to do that, another step in the right direction to becoming that elite team. It's a 5:30 puck drop at the Bell Center in Montreal as the Habs look to bounce back, and that's what's going on in Montreal.
The Colorado Avalanche.
After being one of the most exciting teams to watch offensively last season, this Avalanche team off to a slow start all over the place this season, including offensively. They're averaging just over 2 goals per game right now. That's not going to win you a lot of hockey games. Forward Matt Duchene talked about what his team needs to do to get back to the same success they had 1 year ago.
We just got to compete. We bring that same compete level, that same game plan. A good mixture of finesse and skill and grit and hard work, I think. You know, that was our recipe last season, and when we've won this year, that's been our recipe. There's no question about it. We're an offensive, skilled hockey team, but if you don't put the work in and the grit in to complement it, you're not gonna get the most out of that ability. So that's kind of where our mindset's at right now.
Avalanche are 6-8-5 on the year. Only the Stars and the Oilers have allowed more goals than the Avalanche have to this point. They've only scored the 47, which does not put them very high in the Western Conference either. Only the Winnipeg Jets have scored fewer goals than the Colorado Avalanche have so far this year in the Western Conference. So that's not going to cut it. However, maybe showing some signs of turning things around. Semyon Varlamov's playing a whole lot better between the pipes. Maybe they're able to get their offense a little bit back on track. They've won back-to-back games, so they look for a third consecutive win as they host the Capitals tonight at 7 o'clock. Games on Sportsnet 360, a milestone watch. Forward Jerome Iginla, 2 goals shy of tying Joe Nieuwendyk and Matt Sundin for 21st on the all-time list. Of course, Iginla came to the Flames for Nieuwendyk and 2 goals away from tying him for 21st on the all-time goal-scoring list. But maybe the Avalanche starting to show some signs of turning it around, but they've got a long way to go right now, don't they?
Yeah, they absolutely do, and they have shown some signs of light and some flashes of last season with that offensive power, but scoring 47 goals in 19 games isn't going to win you a lot of hockey games. And scoring the least amount in the Western Conference, and that's a big, big shock considering, the second least with Winnipeg with only 40 goals this year. But, 47 goals is just dreadful. And this Avalanche team, as much as their offense has been dry, Pat, their defense hasn't been that good either. And I think that the goaltending and their defensive core kind of have to be better in order for the offense to step up. Because, the old saying is defense creates offense. And I think that the Avalanche, as much as their defense wasn't that great and not a big change from last year, the great play of Varlamov kind of allowed them to be that offensive powerhouse they were. They were great in transition, and they haven't been able to do that this season, and I think that their speed, allows them to be a great transition team, but we haven't been able to see that this season, and hopefully they find it somehow, but it's been a rough go for the Avalanche this year.
Has it ever. However, maybe they can get on a win streak tonight. They look for a third consecutive win when they take on the Washington Capitals. That game, again, is on Sportsnet 360 tonight. That's what's happening with the Avalanche.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
A very tough story today, Pat, out of Columbus, as the Columbus Dispatch reporting that Blue Jackets blue liner Jack Johnson is filing for bankruptcy. Despite earning more than $18 million over his nine-year career, a series of risky decisions have led him down the wrong financial path. Sources close to the paper say Johnson's parents took advantage of their son's money, and Johnson has now cut ties with his family. Very, very sad story today out of Columbus.
Oh, it's just really tough to read and to wrap your head around, too. He's a guy who entrusted a lot of this money and a lot of the money management to his parents. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't read the story, it's an Aaron Portsline story. It's on the Columbus Dispatch website. It's a really tough read just because, you know, you're getting the full scope of how his parents betrayed him. And it's really – that's just so so unfortunate to hear. Not only has he lost the $18 million, not only has he had to file for bankruptcy, but – he's also lost a relationship with his mom and dad. Like, it's just as bad a story as it gets. So I feel really bad for Jack Johnson. And I know that, you know, sometimes you hear the refrain, okay, they're millionaires, don't feel too bad for them. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not a millionaire. That's that. You know what? Jack Johnson is not a millionaire right now, and he's also lost the relationship with his parents. So just a really, really tough situation to read about today, and I feel for him, and I hope that he's able to get things back on track financially. Sounds like he's put the stuff in place, so that is the case, but mm-hmm. obviously until it happens, you never know. So, yeah. That sucks for Jack Johnson. I hope that he's able to work things out.
Yeah, it's a very, very tough story. As Pat mentioned, if you want to go check out the story by Aaron Portsline, it is up on the Columbus Dispatch's website, and that's what's going on in Columbus today.
The Buffalo Sabres.
And just a quick note here, due to the serious winter storms that have hit the state of New York this week, with over 2 meters of snow having fallen in the Buffalo area, the Sabres have decided to postpone tonight's game against the New York Rangers. They'll announce a makeup date shortly. If you have seen the pictures of Buffalo and the amount of snow that's there, if you've turned on any newscast, you probably would have seen it. But it is unbelievable. Derek showed me a picture of a gentleman shoveling his walk with snow higher than his head. We're talking about feet and feet and feet of snow in Buffalo right now. So it's obviously next to impossible to go to a hockey game. You're kind of snowed in today and for the next little while. So they decided not to postpone the game on Tuesday, but here we are a couple days later. They've decided to postpone the game, and that's the smart move. Not only because of financial reasons and nobody's going to be in the building, but also because safety reasons. You don't want people driving. You don't want people commuting. Absolutely. You don't want people traveling. So makes sense. They've postponed the game, and they'll make up or they'll come up with a makeup date in the next little while. No Sabres and Rangers tonight from the HSBC Center in Buffalo. There you go. That's your spin around the National Hockey League as we continue on the big show this afternoon. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks to Will Nault for joining us on Around the NHL as well. The Calgary Sport and Social Club and Sportsnet 960 The Fan teaming up once again, and we've got a real cool opportunity for you. Now, I am a personal advocate of the CSSC. I'm a regular user of their services and a big fan of playing with the Calgary Sport and Social Club. In fact, I've got a floor hockey game or a ball hockey game tomorrow. This is a really cool thing they do. They come up with all kinds of different leagues, and we're not just talking about the traditional ones, but we're talking about dodgeball, ball hockey, outdoor hockey, ice hockey, indoor soccer, outdoor soccer. They've got slow pitch in the summer. They've got beach volleyball. They've got regular volleyball. Like, we're talking about every single sport you can think of, for the most part, they've got for you. Flag football, it just goes on and on and on. The Calgary Sport and Social Club is a great way for you to stay active, but it's a cool thing they do. So you can get together with a bunch of your friends and put a team together, but you can also sign up as a single and be put on a team so you can, if you're new to the city, that's something that I've always recommended. I've never had that problem. I'm born and raised here, so I've got, you know, a great social circle. But if you're new to the city, if you just came here for work, why not sign up as a single on the Calgary Sport and Social Clubs team. Whether you get to meet a nice gal or you just meet a new group of friends, it's a cool way to kind of kickstart a new social circle for yourself if you're new to the city or something like that. So that's always one thing that I recommend. And the best part about it, yeah, it's competitive and yeah, it's active, but it's fun. So after the game, during the game, you're conversing with the other team, you're getting to know the other team. It really is a cool environment. So we have got a $200 gift certificate from the CSSC to help cover registration for your team. Text us at 960-960 for your chance to win. There's a winner every week. Now, I'm not quite sure what you need to text. This is still unclear to me. I've tried to clear it up, and I'm still unclear on this. But if you text something about the Calgary Sport and Social Club, maybe we'll choose it. And if you have your name on it, too, that'll help. And then we'll potentially choose your name, and you could win $200 on a gift certificate to help with registration. All you need to do, choose the sport, night, and division you'd like to play. Register at CalgarySportsClub.com. We've got winners coming up. The next winner is going to be notified on November 24th. So that is what? On Monday, we'll have a winner for you when it comes to the Calgary Sport and Social Club. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll wrap up our number one with your three burning questions around the corner here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Around the NHL on The Big Show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
The best insiders, the breaking sports news when it happens, tons of play-by-play. Calgary, this is your sports radio. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on The Big Show, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, wrapping things up on hour number one of the program. My name is Pat Steinberg. Will Nault is back at Sportsnet 960 World Control. We've got our three burning questions on a Thursday afternoon. Where are we starting, Will?
Love it when you do that because you make it feel like it's such a big deal at World Control. Like
well, it actually sounds a little bit, it's actually no longer a lie. Like,
no, it's true. I'm not in a walk-in closet anymore.
Exactly. And soon enough, one of the FM stations will take it over and we'll be moved to a walk-in broom closet. But for now, we've got a nice studio that kind of makes you feel like you're at a real radio station. So I feel less like a dirty liar when I say World Control.
Absolutely. The GM meetings are going on right now in the NHL, so a couple of questions stemming from that, Pat, and I guess we'll start with this one. Been a lot of chatter, not necessarily going to happen this season, but potential for it next year, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Should the NHL remove the shootout and replace it with a second overtime that would consist of 3-on-3? For me, I love the idea, and I think it would be very exciting, and you know, 3-on-3 would create a lot of scoring chances. If you can't score 3-on-3, then something's seriously wrong. So I think that they would have games solved in that second overtime, because not only are our players extremely tired, but 3-on-3 is exciting hockey, and there'd be a ton of scoring chances back and forth.
I will disagree with you in a slight way, because I don't think they should ever remove the shootout. What I do think they could do, and what I think probably will happen if this were to happen, would be they could add 3-on-3 overtime, and then if there still isn't a winner then you go to a shootout. So what it does is a couple of things. First off, it gives you more time to decide the game in the actual context of the hockey game, but it also gives you a surefire way to decide a winner. And because of this day and age, because of the immediacy of everything that goes on with the way media is consumed these days, you have to have a winner. I don't think you can have ties anymore. And just look at the outrage there is when there's a tie in an NFL game.
Yep.
And that tells you why you couldn't have ties in the NHL. So I think you need to have the shootout. I understand why GMs and coaches want to have less reliance on the shootout and make it less important to deciding things when it's all said and done. I'm all for that. Keep the shootout, but also add 3-on-3. That seems just fine to me. If they wanted to keep it the way it is, I'm fine with that too. But if they want to add 3-on-3 to reduce the number of shootouts, I have no problems with it, because I think it would be just as entertaining, potentially more entertaining, than what we've got right now.
So to summarize, you'd keep the 4-on-4, but you'd add another 5 minutes of 3-on-3.
If they wanted to do that, yeah, I'd be fine with that. Personally, I don't think they need to change anything. I love it the way it is. But I understand where NHL GMs and executives and coaches are coming from. So knowing that, I think that, yeah, the best way to solve it would be to add the 3-on-3, which will reduce the amount of shootouts even more than perhaps adding the long change into 4-on-4 like they have right now.
You convinced me. I'd take the shootout as well. But I want to see the 3-on-3 added because I think it'd be a ton of fun, and I think you'd see some games
that
decided that for sure. Another one from the NHL GM meetings. This idea has been floated around the media parts, and the NHLPA, NHL, and IIHF have met on this. And that's, you know, the idea of the World Cup of Hockey having the final two teams to go to 8 to be filled with all-star teams. I personally hate the idea. I think it's just ridiculous. I think it would be stupid. I think you could find two countries that could compete. You know, Switzerland's on the rise. I think they could fill out a team that would be, in that category. I think Slovakia could have a team in there as well. I think the gimmick of having a North American team under 23 and a European all-star team, I think is just bizarre.
I don't mind it at all because I don't care about the World Cup. I say that not... I mean that in, it doesn't, I don't have any patriotic attachment to it.
Sure.
I'm not oh, it's time for Canada to win the World Cup. So if you can add two teams like that and just give me a showcase of hockey like that, I think I'd be all for it. I think it'd be actually kind of really cool. It'd be something so different and... You know, what would happen if one of those teams won it all?
Fair.
I don't have a problem with it at all. And I think that it would be actually kind of cool to see. So I'd have no problem if they wanted to go the all-star game route. All-star team route, rather.
Yeah, if you're a 22-year-old Canadian, though, and you didn't make the Canadian team, would you want to play for that North American team? Because I have a feeling that, you know, a lot of players would say, I don't want to play for that team. I don't want to play against my country.
Yeah, maybe, but I think that a lot of guys with who wouldn't usually get to go might say yes, right? So,
okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting theory that I'm very much open to.
Fair enough. The final question relates to the CFL and the West Final on Sunday afternoon here at McMahon Stadium in Calgary. And the question is plain and simple, Pat, and I'll let you answer first. If the Stampeders don't win on Sunday, will it be John Huffnagel's final game as the head coach?
I will say, yeah, I think it would be. I don't think it'll be his final day with the organization, but I think it would expedite his move upstairs and becoming kind of the president of football operations and the GM, and then Dave Dickinson would be the head coach. And I don't have any authority, it's not like I've heard that from anybody. That would just be my guess, that if that does happen, then it might expedite what I believe we all think is going to happen eventually.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I don't think it's any secret. The succession plan is there for the Calgary Stampeders, and I agree. I think that if the Stampeders were to lose on Sunday, it would just speed things up a little bit, and Huffnagel by any means would not leave the organization, but would be done on the sidelines as head coach of that team. Yep. And that is three burning questions on your Thursday.
And that is our number one of the Big Show on a game day, brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion, the Flames, and the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. 7 o'clock start. We're on the air at 6 with your Flames warm-up. Our guest today on Flames warm-up is Blackhawks Assistant General Manager Norm McIver. He's going to join us at 6:10. And coming up at 3:30 this afternoon, the general manager of the Calgary Flames is going to join us here in the Hot Stove Lounge as well, Brad Treliving. In fact, we've got all kinds of live guests popping into the Hot Stove Lounge. Keegan Kanzig is going to drop by sometime in the next half hour. The newest member of the Calgary Hitmen is going to stop by and chat with us. Of course, also a third round pick of the Flames. This is the first time ever the Flames have acquired a member. This is the first time ever the Hitmen, rather, have acquired a draft pick of the Flames. Not since they've had a player on the team that's a draft pick of the Flames, but have actually actively gone out and acquired one. Then Brad Treliving at 3:30, Norm McIver at 6:10. Big Show continues in a few minutes here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We talked to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960.
The Big Show, brought to you by The Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old, same old? Lighten up your Christmas party and book at The Comedy Cave. Just $29.95 per person, including dinner and show. Click ComedyCave.com.